crucial moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip?
Come get some.
Orange whip?
And here it is!
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nail down the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive!
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
We are back. It is the big program. You can find us worldwide on Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe using the podcast aggregator of your choice at thebigprogram.website, which is a thing. .website is a thing, and we have thebigprogram.website. You can go there and subscribe. My name is Derek Knight. With me, as always, Colin Burton, who's not even on. No mics are on. You know why? Because I'm a professional. Colin Burton.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. My sister Heather.
Hiya.
Formerly of Mad and Spam.
That's me.
Yeah. My girlfriend Jessica.
Oh, hi.
Who has NPR experience and went to college, everybody.
Woohoo!
And we have a guest in studio who's probably easily the biggest celebrity we've ever had in person on the show. He has been featured on A&E's Evening at the Improv. He's been on the Bob and Tom Show. His name is Mark Britton. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
You may know him as China Man, which was your comedic persona.
Early 2000s.
For years. And I can tell you that there's at least one person in Boise who really wants you to come back to Boise. Because I just did a show in Nampa, a one-nighter at a brewery in Nampa, Idaho. And I was talking to the guy that opened for me. And he said, oh, man, I love that guy. He would always sell out. I wish he would come back. So you have an in. One guy in Boise wants you to come back.
Boise,
Idaho.
I don't even
Idaho.
Remember doing... Am I saying it wrong? I thought it's Boise.
Boise.
Am I saying it like a Joyzy person?
With a hard...
Am I saying it like Joyzy?
With a hard
with
Boise? S.
It's not... It doesn't... It's not Joyzy rhymes with Boise. You're saying Boise?
Boise. Yeah, with a hard S.
Okay, like Boise's in the hood?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's they love you in Boise, apparently. Okay. But
I don't think I've been to Boise.
Really? Well, somebody says you have.
I've been to Cascade, Idaho.
Oh, maybe that was it. I mean, I don't know much about the geography of Idaho. Mm. Jess might know more.
I feel like if you're in Idaho or you're from Idaho...
It's all
you
same.
Just say you're you from Boise because yeah. Nobody knows anything else in Idaho.
It's like Montana.
There you go.
Except
you
know, for you're... maybe the Panhandle.
Okay.
I come from the Panhandle.
Where they grow
there
the hops.
Which is pretty much Canada.
Yeah. But specifically, Mark did 7 voices on the American English dub of Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh, nice.
Well, yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Now, which characters, for listeners' edification, which characters did you do on Dragon Ball Z?
Well, I did the Funimation dub.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with how that works. They had a Canadian dub before that.
Oh, okay.
Which I think was called the Ocean dub.
Got it.
And they did 1 through 67.
Listener might know because listener lives in Canada. She's a prison guard in Canada.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. 1 through 67. And then I came in and episode 68 through 219.
Wow.
And my 7 characters were contained in those episodes.
Okay.
And the 7 characters were Corin the Cat, which I'll do how they sound as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. We did Corin the Cat, which is, oh, yeah, Jerobi, we got to get some Sinju beans. Everybody's going to be wanting some more of these.
Sinju beans.
Yeah. So then we got Corin the Cat. We got Ox King, who is Gohan's grandfather. Right?
Okay.
Hey, Chi-Chi, hurry up. The others are coming. We're going to be late to the party.
There we go. That's Ox King. Berter from the Ginyu Force, which is, hey, Jace, how about the Purple Spiral Flash Attack? Then we got from the Ginyu Force, Berter, Rings from the Toad Warriors.
Okay.
Who was who challenged the androids, and he sounds like this. You're not going to best the Toad Warriors. We're the best fighters there ever were. So then we got...
I like that one.
Yeah, that one's...
He's a little bit Johnny Rotten.
That one's kind of my favorite as
great.
Well. That was kind of the... It's kind of an Australian punk rockish kind of voice. But a lot of my voices are that way as well. Let's see. So then we have Maury, who took over after Dende left.
And he's more of a wise character, so he talks like this. A lot of what he says is very wise.
Nice. Then a little bit of...
Sean Connery?
Yeah, a little Sean Connery in the back end.
But no, not much of the accent.
Yeah, right. No Scottish. Accent, it's like Sean Connery if he were from Ohio.
You can hear a lot of, I'm sure Colin will be able to peg these last two probably, or at least one of the last two that I do as far as what voice I borrowed it from. Let's do the alien announcer, which his voice was, "Oh man, we got, up next we got Katerbi versus Goku." His was more of a kind of a Hong Kong fooey kind of a tone to it. And then we have the last one, which is the Grand Kai. And his voice is, "Oh, yeah, man, you get lessons from me. I'm the best fighter there ever was. I'm the Grand Kai."
The Grand Kai.
Sort of Wolfman Jack.
Thank you very much. Yep. That is exactly Wolfman Jack.
And I had
That's why I knew that Colin would be able to peg it on that one.
Except I'm bad with celebrity names, just ask Heather.
Except
Wolfman Jack. Yeah. Clearly, Wolfman Jack is your wheelhouse.
Apparently, you've got it when it counts, Colin. Yeah.
Bring it at home. Bring it at home. Now, you did a show in Vegas for how many years?
That only lasted for 6 months.
Okay, so half a year. But it was a rock and roll comedy show?
Yes. I had a rock and roll show in Vegas at the Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And it was for 6 months. I lived in Vinnie Paul's house from Pantera.
Ooh, that's pretty cool. Ooh,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So Vinnie Paul from Pantera was actually the one who sponsored the whole show. Now, Dimebag Darrell, Vinnie Paul's brother, and the starter, the main reason for Pantera, those two coming together, I was his favorite stand-up comic. And then he was shot in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
And before they died, they both put $50,000 into a bank account. And whoever died, the other person that was living got to keep the $100,000. And so Vinnie said, "Hey, Chinaman, you know, you're Dimebag Darrell's favorite stand-up comic. Let's take this money and let's go to Vegas and see, let's put a show together and see what we can do."
Nice.
So that's how that came about.
I mean, sad circumstances of how it came about, but.
Yes.
How was the show?
I liked it. We didn't know what we were doing. We went there, you know, I've known Carrot Top since the early 90s.
Yeah.
So when we were backstage with Carrot Top and asked for advice, they would not give us any connections. Not tell us how anything was run there, none of that stuff. So we were kind of just spending money freely. I think Vinnie Paul spent $2,500 on life-size cutouts of us.
Whoa.
Just from that. So, I mean, 2.5% was spent on
life-size cutouts.
And you've got three people in the room who have sourced life-size cutouts probably in the past. I know I have. And I'm thinking, I mean, $2,500, I would take it. But I would charge you less.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
not to retroactively.
Prices, I don't know. They were pretty thick. They were about half inch thick.
Okay.
Cutouts.
Gator board? How many life size cutouts?
Okay.
Though? I mean,
okay.
Was this like the reproducing you?
All right. 10.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
that makes more sense.
$2,500 for this is 10. I mean, I'd have to see them. I'm not going to retroactively say that you made bad decisions.
I think I have like there's still like five of me floating around in Vegas.
That's amazing.
I didn't even get to keep them. I didn't even get to keep them. When we broke up like a band. It was the weird breakup when it all ended in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, Vinny kind of left us hanging, and he kind of took off and went on tour with Hell Yeah. And so he kind of was like, I was just a side project that he just left there with nobody to manage. So he was just like, "Hey, you talk to the manager of the Hard Rock. Here's his phone number, and you guys put it all together." Really? So it's just kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, so 6 months, you kind of spent a lot of money and you flamed out. That's very rock and roll.
It is very
rock and roll. That's very rock and roll, man.
It is. In fact, when we first started, we were just a bunch of kids just fooling around, you know? We didn't even know. And then we went into the studio and, you know, blasted.
Case in point, Mark.
That's how they all end. And then we went into the studio.
In if you've ever heard Gilbert Gottfried do impressions, he likes to do odd impressions like Groucho Marx at the end of his life. But Mark does one of the best Ozzy Now impressions. And if you'd indulge us.
Yes.
With an Ozzy Now impression.
Okay, Ozzy freaking Osbourne. You know, it's one of the few voices that sounds like it's double-tracked. I mean, listen to this. It's like there's a freaking echo. Sharon?
That's awesome. Pretty damn good.
That is great.
There's only a few voices that use that double tracking, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Because I told people, I don't know of a single voice that I do that double tracks like that. But there are certain voices like Bush, mm-hmm. you know, not like George Bush.
Right.
But like the band Bush.
Yeah.
Got a machine head better than the rest, green to red.
But it's got two, you can hear kind of two tracks in it to where yeah. it sounds like one is behind the other.
Well, when you started...
Just like Ozzy.
Yeah, when you started the Ozzy impression, my headphones freaked out. It sounded double-tracked. And I looked over at the waveforms like, did something happen? And that wasn't trickery. That was your mouth yes. making that happen, yes. which you must be a demon.
Is there an echo? And I don't know where that comes from in my voice, you know. I say, Sharon, something's wrong with my voice. It sounds like there's a ghost on top of my voice.
It sounds auto-tuned. That's fascinating.
It's amazing.
It does sound auto-tuned.
It's fascinating to have the ability to do that. And, you know, not blowing smoke up your ass because you're a pretty, you know, you're good at this. But there are certain impressions that you bust out that I'm like, nobody can do that. I mean, that's almost better than the real person. Bobcat that's Goldthwait, awesome. That's for, awesome. For example. Okay, yeah, nobody yeah, does Bobcat. Well, except for you.
Okay, here we go. Her. Here we go. In fact, Bobcat, whenever I worked with him, I actually did the impression for him. Let me tell you the story after we do the Bobcat, right. But here it is. Hi,
thank you very much. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? I saw that new movie, Jaws. Two guys walking to a bar. What is with these television commercials? I just want to babysit.
See, you bust that out, and I'm just like,
That is perfect.
That's dead
that is
on,
perfect.
Right?
Yeah. I close my eyes, and it's just like Bobcat sitting in the room with us.
Well, Bobcat had told me when I worked with him, he said that he signed a photo, says, nobody does me better than you.
Nice.
And I don't know what that means.
But hope he means the voice.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hang on one second. Maybe that was a time bomb joke.
Yeah. Maybe you were just really high.
Yes.
You don't remember.
But what had happened was in El Paso, I have a big following in El Paso, and there's a radio station, KLAQ. The DJ there is a buddy of mine for like 30 years, and he's like, hey, I have Bobcat Goldthwait calling in this morning. He goes, you know, it'd be funny as if you called in on the other line as well, and we put him on hold, and we picked you up, and we did the interview with you while he was listening. So we did that.
Nice.
You know, they picked it up. He goes, we got Bobcat on the line, and they had him on hold, because he's listening to the whole thing. And I was like, thank you very much. And I did that. I did that thing. You know, I did it twice, you know, and then I did some of his material. And then the producer busts in and says, hey, that's not Bobcat. We got Bobcat on line two. He goes, no, I'm talking to Bobcat right now. He goes, no, we got Bobcat line two. So then he puts us both on the phone at the same time. And then he ends up hanging up on me. And then, of course, Bobcat told him on the air that he was very impressed with the fact that I knew his material.
Nice.
So I did it very well for him.
And you've got a long list of voices that you say you can do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I use them for pranks like that every now and again. And I haven't, I mean, they turn out really well. Like the Ozzy one I used for, to call when Vinnie Paul and I were at a topless bar one time, the song Photograph comes on.
Right.
And Vinnie Paul looks at me and says, hey, you know, Chinaman, I know Chad Kroger, is that his name? Anyways, he's like, hey, from Nickelback, let's call him. And I'm like, okay, let's call him. I mean, wow.
Sure, why not?
I don't understand that,
but
okay.
Nickelback on the line.
Yeah, let's get Nickelback. I hear his song, let's call him. It's playing here in Kroger. I mean, really? I mean, what?
Chad what? King yeah. Supers, we've got your
exactly.
song.
Exactly. Like, he didn't know his song was being played at titty bars. So, okay. So he says, Chinaman, we're going to call him. And he goes, as soon as the phone starts ringing, he looks at me and says, Chinaman, act like Ozzy. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, act like Ozzy. And then he goes, hey, Chad. He goes, He goes, listen to the song in the background. We're at a titty bar. Listen to the song. Then he lets him listen. He's like, yeah. Guess who I'm here with? And he hands the phone to me and he goes, do Ozzy. I'm like, what? Do Ozzy.
Hello, is this Chad Kroeger from Nickelback? Oh my God. Look at this photograph. Every time I do it makes me laugh. Beautiful, beautiful lyrics, man. I can't believe I've got this. I'm gonna let you go, but keep up the great work, mate. You know, it's great stuff. And I hand it back to Vinnie Paul, and Vinnie Paul's like, yeah, isn't that amazing? Oh, man, we're having a blast. Isn't it amazing? All right, yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. And then he hangs the phone up, and I look at Vinnie. I said, why didn't you tell him that wasn't Ozzy Osbourne from, you know, and he goes, China Man, if you could have seen, or if you could have heard how excited he was that Ozzy liked one of his songs. I mean, I didn't want to let him down after that, man.
He's gonna be telling that story forever.
Yeah, besides that, how are you going to... You're never going to be able to verify it.
No.
I mean, Ozzy's not going to remember.
No. Nickelback, Sharon, do I freaking like Nickelback? What isn't that what you get at the 95 cent store?
Do I like Chickamongas?
So yeah, I've used several of my impressions for, and I didn't realize that like one time we tried to get in touch with Maria Shriver.
Okay.
Because I do an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
That was what I was famous for in the 90s.
Yeah, and that actually, before you go into that, is like on the list of XM's top 100 comedy routines is you doing the Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Oh yeah.
On Bob and Tom. And it is very good.
Oh yes. In fact, a lot of my impressions I learn by getting sound clips, and I'll play them over and over in my headphones at home alone. So I don't even know if people enjoy them. Man. All I know is I enjoy them. All right? So like whenever it came to doing Arnold, I would get that clip where it says,
my CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer. The more contact I have with humans, the more I learn.
I love it. Everybody that does Arnold impressions that I've seen, it's always like the big screaming Arnold. And I like that you're like conversational Arnold.
Yeah. Conversational Arnold would be a great quiz team name. True. Like, if you're actually going to do an impression, don't do the hack bullshit.
Yeah, do Arnold.
You've got to learn the conversational aspect
of it. And you have to sound ballsy. When you're talking like him, he talks very ballsy. And a lot of people, when they do impressions of him, they try to do him like this. I need my tortillas.
You know what I mean? And it's like, no, that sounds like a Muppet.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like Arnold the Muppet.
Yes. And so there's kind of a hybrid Arnold.
Yeah.
And Arnold is more like this, you know?
Yeah.
Even when he's excited, he's more like excited. It's not a tumor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. After hearing you do your impression of Arnold, it's like, oh, okay. He's like, I too mimic things that I hear.
Yes.
And a lot of times when you're doing an impression, oftentimes you're just doing an impression of somebody else's impression.
Yes.
And
that's correct.
But when I heard you do Arnold, that conversational angle is like, oh, that's what's been wrong all along. And it's not an impression that I do.
Yes.
But it clicked like I could. Like now I know why I can't.
Another thing, if you can ever find the T2 pinball machine.
Yeah.
Have you played that over and over?
Security vault locked. Fire at will. Get the extra ball. You got the extra ball. Nice.
Well, and really, learning to mimic is literally just sitting alone in your house with headphones on and doing it over and over. Or
I'm a big parrot. I'm a big parrot.
In my case, I find usually I find by accident I'll do something with my mouth and a sound will come out and I'm like, oh, that sounds like X. And then I'll work toward that X. And I know that there's certain things like certain registers I can't hit. But then sometimes I'll turn my mouth to the side and I'll start. It's like, oh, wow, that changes everything.
Yes, it does.
Holy shit.
It does. Or holding air underneath your tongue.
Yeah.
Which is a odd way to do impressions. I still find that weird. Like Andre the Giant, when you say,
I listen to Princess Stables and then I laugh. For my horses,
I said to myself, there are four of us. If you ever find a lady, hello, lady. Hello.
So, and that's holding air under the tongue. And then another one that does that, where that does better, because you can do Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, I tell you, you can do Rodney Dangerfield without holding air underneath your tongue. But if you hold air underneath your tongue, hey, I tell you, yeah, I get no respect. Hey.
So you got to kind of, there's a variance that you have to, a certain amount of air that you have to put underneath your tongue to do that.
Yeah.
And that has to be practiced over and over. And I haven't practiced it enough. Like you, I see you have my list pulled up.
I have your list pulled up.
Which I need to further.
You need to update because Snoop Dogg is not on this list.
Branch that out. Is it not? I think I did put it on.
Did it?
Look at the S's. Yep. I just put it on the other day. Snoop Dogg. There it is right there.
There it is. Well, it wasn't there just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And the chief editor for Geeks Who Drink got in touch with me because they wanted to do a fake Snoop Dogg round 7 for QMCon because we were going to be in the LBC. So much drama. And he said, hey, is there a website that I can go to just for voiceover professionals? And I said, yes, two of them, voices.com and voice123.com. Fun fact, I was banned for life from voice123.com, so don't go with them for complaining about their algorithm. They sent me an email 2 weeks in and said, how's it going? And I fired back an email saying, not well. I don't like your algorithm. Here's why. And they said, we don't want somebody like with that attitude on our site. You're banned for life.
Wow.
But then I said, hold up. It's not on his list, but I know a guy who does impressions. And after some back and forth, I got Mark and Christopher together.
That's right.
And he was the one who voiced the round 7 from the Super Quiz.
Were you at the Super Quiz?
I was there. I was at the Super Quiz. It went over well.
Nice.
People kept, you didn't actually get Snoop Dogg for this. Like, who did this? And then it was like, Christopher, was it you? And he's like, no, of course not. Derek, was it you? No, we actually got like a legitimate voiceover actor to do Snoop Dogg for us.
Yeah.
People did not believe it. It was great.
And it took me a while to get that down, you know?
Yeah.
You have to talk in kind of little sentences that are like broken down. You know, nephew?
It's as if he has a very tiny mouth.
Yes, yeah. I mean.
Maybe it's just very tiny vocal cords.
I don't know what it is, man. I mean, he got tiny vocal cords, but he's like 7'2", you know?
7'2" and 125 pounds.
I want to interject for listener, because listener can't see what we can see. And I wish I could adequately express how when Mark is doing these impressions, his entire physicality changes. Like, it's not just his mouth, it's not just his face, but like, he went into Snoop Dogg and all of a sudden he's leaning back.
He's comfy.
You have to be like that, nephew. You have to turn your head, nephew, you know? I mean, they tried to ask me to do that shit. I said, hell no, nephew.
That is amazing. It is so impressive to sit and watch you rapid fire these.
Thank you very much. Like I said, I don't know what people are impressed by. So until I go out and do more podcasts and do more live things where I get live reactions, I don't specifically know what people find fascinating about what I do.
Just a creepy guy sitting at home with his headphones
on. Yeah, you're right. That's how I feel. Well, 4 hours the other day I practiced.
Nice.
4 hours. My wife was like, what did you do today? I was like, well, nothing really. I mean,
I had headphones on.
I sang. Because right now I'm in the process of trying to upgrade some of my impressions for my stand-up.
Yeah.
Because my stand-up contained a lot of old people impressions like Van Halen, Aerosmith.
I like the way he's Metallica. Making
it. I know, yeah. Because those are the ones that he would get. You know what I mean?
Well, but these are all when we were in high school.
For real, right? Yeah. I mean. But then again, you probably get Korn. No? Would you get Korn, System of a Down?
Korn never digests properly. That's all I know.
System of a Down.
Now we're getting into my era.
I had to go younger because I've realized that my audience, when I say Dragon Ball Z and I invite you to a comedy club, if you come in and I do Van Halen impressions, you're like, what? This was not, you said that it might be something I would like. You know, the Dragon Ball Z thing and my comedy are two separate things that intersected at a weird. So not only do your parents like my comedy, but you'll like my comedy now that I've gone and done Korn, you know, because I go back and I was like, I toured with Korn in 2007 with Vinny and them. And so that was weird to me to hear people go, oh, you do a Korn impression? It's like, wow, So all the bands that I toured with back then, okay. I mean, I
got
it. You know, and so I listened, and the only thing I could find with Korn is that part where they have that song where he goes, boom, you know what I'm talking about? And Freaks on a Leash. But he goes, boom. I told my wife, I said, that sounds like Cornholio looking for TP. I need TP for my boy. Cornholio.
It's so K-O-R and Holio. I think that's a wonderful hybrid impression.
Yes, it is.
For listener edification, Mark's stand-up set, his whole act is, it's diverse. It's a diverse act, but a big chunk of the act is musical impressions, impressions of singers. And I mean, they're spot on. Jess has seen the act.
It's incredible.
I've had the Thank good fortune to see him very up close when we did a show at an American Legion Hall and got commendations from the commandant. I mean, how cool is that? If you get an official commendation for telling prostitution jokes. Yeah.
But don't turn around. The commandant said,
But see, that's what happens. He'll do these musical impressions, but they're spot on. And they're so fast. They're so rapid fire. People just don't have time to.
And that was my age group. That was my age group of people.
Yes, that was an older show.
So whenever I because I've been performing stand-up since I was 17. I'm 50 now.
Yeah.
Okay, so 33 years ago when I was performing, at 17, I was performing to people older than myself because I was in a nightclub.
Sure.
You were a kid. So these people are, you know, maybe in their mid-20s, maybe. That was the audience back then. 21-year-olds didn't normally attend comedy clubs.
Right.
It was normally people in their mid-20s. You know what I mean? So I've been entertaining people older than myself. So with the Van Halen and all of that stuff, I mean, that was my audience. Now it's people coming up. I'm a big fan of Dragon Ball Z. And it's like, wow, did you get any of my impressions? And they're like, no, I didn't get any of the music impressions. I understood the Eminem one. Oh, okay, great.
Right, people coming up and like, I've loved you since I was 12.
Yes.
Like, how weird is that?
For a different reason than the thing that they say the most is, you know, you were the soundtrack to my childhood. And I always tell them, wow, I had music as the soundtrack to my childhood, and you had... That was your, no wonder why you're a little high strung, you know, all of that, you know, because it was yelling most of Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I don't, and then I went and looked up the demographic today to try to adjust my comedy act for it. Okay. Back in 2002, when it was the number one cartoon, people were, it was the number one demographic for 12 to 24 males.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now what are they? They're 29?
They're spending money. They are spending money age.
So that's what I, that's.
Are those millennials? That would be millennials, right?
Yeah, younger millennials. Yeah.
Now I know whenever I told you about doing stand-up that I don't write for the audience, okay? I don't write a joke thinking the audience will think it's funny.
Yeah.
But I do write for their niche.
Sure.
I can.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different way of looking at it to me.
Well, and you have a, I mean, you're a. It's great that you can transcend the generational gap with that Dragon Ball Z references. But, I mean, your abilities to morph your voice, all you've got to do is figure out what they want, and you've got
it.
So that's a great skill to have.
Well, my newest incarnation that I would like to somehow be able to do is to be able to have people vote on what their references are before my show.
Yeah.
Maybe they're being able to have a list of it, and they can vote on their phone so that I get all that data in the back.
Sure.
Oh, nothing. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, nothing kills a show more than me doing a Bobcat impression and only you five people in the audience laughing. Me going, hey, here's our old section.
Gen X-ers. I mean,
right. Exactly. Yep. People under that. Like I said, it's weird because I appeal now to Dragon Ball Z people and their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. I've got, 27 all the way up to the 60s I can entertain.
And soon enough, like, that younger group is going to start coming in comedy shows that's even younger than that.
Your age group is kind of like the age group of people that can play the game of life. It's like 10 to 99. So you've got that.
Yeah, right.
You're right in that sweet spot of 10 to 99.
I auditioned for America's Got Talent, in 2015, and they gave me a callback. And come to find out, they were wanting me to entertain the same people that you would entertain on Sirius Satellite if you were on their clean channel.
Okay.
So it's grandmothers listening with their six-year-old granddaughter or their six-year-old grandchild.
Yeah.
You know, in the car. So that's the basically under 18 is a big demographic for that. And then over 52 is a big demographic.
Yeah.
So it's grandmothers watching with their grandchildren.
Yeah. So like exactly not your demographic.
No, exactly not. Exactly. You were correct.
Yeah. Well, one of the producers for America's Got Talent was at the main event last year, not this past but the one before. And I had a long chat with her. And it's the same thing you just unsolicited told me. Your website is wrong. If you want to market yourself, you can't be DerekKnightIsFunnyGoddammit.com.
Yes.
And she told me the same thing. She's all, we can't put that on screen. And I'm like, I know. And I'm not really worried about going on America's Got Talent anytime soon. But it is the idea of you can't just drive fast down the middle of offensive if you're going to be marketable.
That's why I changed from Chinaman.
Yeah.
Because a lot of white guys don't like to scream Chinaman in a crowded place.
Well, weren't people also
Chinaman?
Weren't like, people also confusing it with just the phrase Chinaman?
Chinaman as well, and it's like that's not that doesn't it doesn't bother me, you know. It Norm MacDonald's right. It's the least offensive of the terms.
Yeah.
When it comes to racist terms, because literally it translates as guy from China.
Right.
Okay. So I mean, in the end, it's not as offensive as anything else. It's not as offensive as Gook Dude.
Which the story behind Gook Dude, it wouldn't be fair for me to say how this came about, but it came about, and
I was getting ready to change my name to that.
Yeah.
No. What happened was, get this, we were performing, and I've known Mike Merrifield, comedian,
very funny,
very extremely funny. For like 20 years, I've known the guy.
Yeah.
So he's drunk and he's on stage and he says
and
later.
And to preface this, it was the 10th anniversary show at the main event, so it was just a shit show.
So it's
it
like was a the comedy wonderful show for shit comics, show.
Yes,
much.
Yes.
It was. Oh, yeah. It was the best. Everybody's comics. Playing to the back of the room.
Yes. And so he gets up there and he says, you know, later on, he goes, I've been drinking a little, but you're going to see my buddy, Mark Britton, who now goes by Mark Britton. He used to go by Chinaman. And, you know, he's trying to figure out what he's going to go by now, because everybody's been giving him hell for Chinaman because of this PC bullshit. And so we've all been discussing. And so we think he's just going to go by Gook Dude
from now on. Exploded.
And he set it up like that.
Oh, awkward.
It was. It was. But it was.
But
so
it was the joke of the night.
God
it
really damn. Was. Everybody. So drunk.
He drew everybody in.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing about Mike Merrifield. I mean, he's not here to defend himself, but his act, like, we know somebody whose name I'm not going to mention, who tells bad jokes and then yells at the audience for not getting them.
Ah, yeah.
Mike Merrifield goes up and berates the audience into loving him. Oh, yeah. I don't know how he does it.
It takes
so
a special,
expertly.
Special kind
he's
of asshole
so
to do
good
that.
At it. And
he is very
he's
good
just
at it. You're
so,
right.
So skilled. And it's the kind of comedy that I love watching. Just the riff. What's in front of you? What are you riffing on? And he gets them to love him.
He's a lovable. Who was the guy back in the 90s who did the Dennis Leary?
Okay,
he's lovable Dennis Leary type guy.
He's like a doughy Dennis Leary in a way. I mean, he's tall. He's not super. He's not fat.
No. But
he's not like angry looking like.
Not
Dennis.
Angry. He's not angry. He's softer, more rounded edges. More. I like how he does his.
He's brilliant. He's
Leary.
Brilliant.
I didn't like Dennis Leary.
Good to know.
Way to name names, guys.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary, no good.
Certain comedy, I'm not a fan. You know, it's just comedy's like has its own niches. Like people say Bill Burr amazing, and I can't watch more than 5 minutes of him.
I'll be honest,
I'm just
never
this is not my type of comedy.
I've never seen any of Bill Burr's stand up.
It's not just not my type.
Yeah,
you know,
There's a lot of things that I like. I love Patton Oswalt. And,
okay, I'm not a Patton Oswalt fan.
See, that's the thing, though. I don't try to emulate Patton Oswalt.
No, he's a different type.
Because he's going to do his thing. I enjoy watching it. And I'm like, yeah.
I just don't like that. I'm smarter than everybody here in the room. So I'm going to.
I kind of like it.
It's kind of Derek.
Kind of like totally it. Okay.
I got a weird compliment.
It's a Janine Garofalo. Are you a Janine Garofalo fan, too?
Not so much.
Okay.
Louis
Black?
I don't like Louis Black.
Okay. Kathleen Madigan?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Yeah. I got a weird compliment, though, after the show in Nampa, and it was my first paid headline set. Yay! We've got somebody who's been doing stand-up for like 80 years, right? 80 years, right, 80 right, right. And I just did my first paid headline gig in Nampa, Idaho.
Way Nampa. Nampa, okay. That was the Idaho gig.
Yeah, that was the Idaho gig. And I got a weird compliment from a dude afterward, and he called me something, and I had to look it up. What was it?
The Solston Easton
of comedy. And I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He said, because you're so smart. And I was like, I guess I'll take it.
My reaction
but
was
then
like,
I talked to him for about half an hour. But then I talked to him for about a half an hour, and I realized he wasn't. So I didn't know how to take that compliment.
The smartest thing he knew was Solston Easton.
Yeah, it's like the only reference that he could pull.
Now, but here's
nowhere.
The thing. You will get this reference. The only one in this room, maybe, that will get the... He was the Keith Berger of Nampa. Oh, that was in concert. There's a guy who's been coming to my quiz for a long time, and he's very smart. But he's antagonistic, and his name is Keith Berger. And so this guy was the Keith Hamburger of Nampa. But, yeah.
That guy that always has to get in that word.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if I should put that on my resume.
No. Well, my whole thing about comedy and being the smartest person in the room is your joke is only as good as many people as get the reference.
It's true.
I don't know if you were... at the writing session thing when everybody was talking about necrosis. I've never heard of the word necrosis.
Yeah. But I mean, until you experience it, you're bit by a brown recluse.
But isn't that the death of flesh?
Yeah, you're
okay. See, she did a joke of necrosis and everyone was like, well, I get it. I think it's
funny. I would laugh.
I'm like, I don't understand. But if I don't get it.
Right, if you don't get it.
It's like when, who's the comic? George Lopez does jokes and he goes, yes, just like when we were little, you know, with the tachaclas. You remember tachaclas? And it's like, I don't get it. Okay,
I don't know.
You lost me. Tachaclas. I have no idea what a tachacla is or whether my mom beat me with it or whatever. You know, you're referring to.
The chancla?
Yeah.
The
chancla? Different. I don't know what he's referring to. As soon as you use a word that I'm not familiar with and everybody around me is, it's like, oh, you've alienated me.
What I've heard is that Mexican mothers are very adept with beating their children with their sandals.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my understanding of it, but not having grown up in that culture.
I don't know the word sandal in Spanish.
It's like chancla?
So when you say it in a joke, it's not funny to me.
Right.
Like when somebody used the word necrosis and I was like, well, and then everybody in the room was trying to kind of, all the other comics were trying to shame me. Like, you've never heard of that word. It's in biology. And it's in, I go, okay, hang on, guys. In all fairness, okay, I took calculus and statistics. If I throw a calculus and statistic word out there and you don't know it and I try to shame you over it.
Right.
It's kind of what you're doing here.
Yeah.
In the end, I'm smarter at certain things than you are, but for you to say, you don't know, you haven't seen that movie.
Right. Yeah.
You've never watched that. What?
Yeah. Well, and really.
So that type of comedy with me doesn't resonate as much. Sure. Dennis Miller was the last type of comic that I loved
who did that. Yeah. Tried to be. Well, and I get it. What you mean as far as the audience has to understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Or you're failing.
Sometimes Patton Oswalt does that to me, to where he makes these references where I'm just like, oh, well.
Well, and he's a hyper nerd. And so he's going to attract very nerdy pop culture people.
Okay, gotcha.
And
that's what you consider. Are you considered a nerdy pop culture
people? Well, I mean.
Would you consider him just?
I work full-time for. Fringe.
He's on the fringes.
I work full-time for a company called Geeks Who Drink. So my entire life. As far as my work is immersed in nerdy pop culture.
Gotcha.
But he is very intelligent, and I do appreciate some of the places that he goes with jokes. I understand why some people don't like him.
Yeah.
Because they're, I'm trying to think the other, there's been a big to-do about Dave Chappelle's recent special.
Yeah.
I have not watched the whole thing, but I've watched 5 clips from it, and I laugh my ass off the entire time. That's all I know. And I feel like there's this, you know, everybody's angry about certain words. Like they're trying to put the kibosh and a zero tolerance policy on certain words and certain things. And it's just like, man, just let somebody who's really skilled work around it and see how it ends up. And I feel like that's what he was doing in that. I'd like to watch the whole thing from start to finish. And I want to watch it with you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Because we like to pick shit apart.
We do.
And the only reason I would watch it, and maybe this is by design. If it is, it's brilliant. The only reason I'd watch it now is because so many people are angry about it.
Yes.
Because otherwise, for me, it would have just floated into the ether. I don't watch a lot of stand-up specials.
I don't watch a lot of TV, period. So the only time I watch it is whenever I read on Twitter. Yeah. And everybody's talking about the Chappelle thing was so great. The Chappelle. Okay, now I got to go watch.
Right.
Hey, the South Park thing with the China. You got to go watch it. The South Park thing with. Okay, yep. I got to go watch it now.
Yeah.
If everybody's talking about it, I kind of feel like I got to pull myself into the reference. But there's so many different references to be had from so many different genres that you can't possibly watch everything. That gets me when people go, you haven't seen Orange is the New Black? How much time do you think I have?
Yeah, lesbians in prison, not my thing.
Okay.
But Colin and Heather, boy, they watch a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
we do. I let him, he will often, because he, I don't know how you have the time. Are you a time traveler?
What?
But he will often suggest things to me, and then I'll wait on him, because I like to binge. I don't want to watch in real time. But 8 times out of 10, the things he suggests to me, I'm like spot on.
You hated Mr. Show.
Maybe he's got one of those buttons like on YouTube. The button I like on YouTube is the one where you can adjust the speed. Because sometimes one of my guys talks too slow. He talks too slow, and so I put it at 1.5 times, and I listen to it at 1.5 times, and it doesn't seem to skip that much, and I can get it really quick. It's like, okay. I got all of that info in less than 1.5 minutes.
Nice. I like that. It feels like you're cramming for a test.
So that's kind of how he listens. He watches all of his TV shows. He's got one of those buttons that says 2 times.
2 times.
I can understand what they're saying twice as fast.
Oh, man. Have you ever seen Letterkenny?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Letterkenny's
fun. You can't watch that 2 times fast. It's already too damn fast.
It's too fast in and of itself. It's Canadian.
You have to slow that one down to understand it half the time.
Or watch it again and again.
Again and again.
Yeah.
I want to do a complete flip since we've got Mark in the room. I would love, since we were talking about comedians and, you know, you guys are going off a little bit, what were some of your inspirations as far as comedy? Or who are some people that you like or that you look up to?
Eddie Murphy.
Nice.
Was my number one influence. In fact, if you watch Eddie Murphy's Delirious, and then you watch my act, a lot of my act shadows, steals from his style. His style. Well, you think he does James Brown, and he does the wow. That's a James Brown lyric, and I knew Metallica. Yeah, that's a Metallica lyric. So you know, it's basically.
Taking a premise and making it your own.
Well, because my genre of music was rock music. Sure. His genre of music was Motown.
Right.
So all of his were about Motown, but I do them in the same style.
Yeah.
So he was a big influence. Howie Mandel.
Okay.
Extremely big influence.
Loved Howie Mandel. Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember watching his specials with my mom when I was little.
And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yep.
So those are the three that I kind of... you know, character comedy has always been my type of thing. I like characters in comedy, like Bobcat. I loved Bobcat, Judy Tenuta, Gilbert Gottfried, all of those. That era was such a great comedy era to me because everybody had flavor. Now you go and watch comedy, people are up there in just T-shirts and jeans trying to just tell a joke. And it's just like, that's not what it's about. I don't know.
Bruce Springsteen of comedy.
Was that most people are trying to be the Bruce Springsteens of comedy?
Yeah.
They are, but they all blend in. Mm. And it's like, hey, when everybody's wearing jeans and a T-shirt, wear something different or do something different, you know? And that's how I've always viewed my comedy as well. There's not many people doing voices on stage anymore.
No. Or impressions even.
You know, I've been trying to figure out how to describe it. So like when they see it on a poster, you know, and that I got 2 graphics guys, you see it on a poster and it pops it, you know, voices and comedy fusion.
Yeah.
Voices and comedy entertainment fusion. See, I'm trying
Beat
to
behind
figure
the curtain.
Out
he was, something. We were talking about this earlier about a pamphlet for that.
Yes.
Your idea of the two colliding. So
yes. Just to try to, so that when people spot it immediately, they see Dragon Ball Z and then they see what my act is about.
Yeah.
There, it should just be able to describe it like that, you know?
And it's like a dizzying array of impressions.
Dizzy. And I've got the list in front of me. And before we started,
all right,
Mark agreed to do an impression off with me.
There we go.
Oh, no.
Now we're going to cherry pick, and you guys are going to judge because it has to be an impression that I can do.
That he can do. So.
Right.
But I think we're going to start.
Okay. And like I said, on my list, I should actually qualify it with impressions that within a day I can get them down extremely well. Because some of these, if you don't tune them, they don't stay tuned. So these were voices that some of them are ones that I haven't practiced, but I know they're in my
vocal. So we're totally going to try to throw you off is what you're
saying. Well, but it's also like...
The ones he picks are going to be...
I haven't been practicing either.
Okay,
but we're
going
to start with Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, nice.
You may start.
Okay, cool. So you guys going to close your eyes so that we... Oh, wait. Yeah, well, because they know who it is now. They already know because since I'm starting. Here we go.
Well,
here we go.
they're going to be. They're not going to be biased.
We'll be objective. We'll be as objective as possible.
Okay, here we go. This is my Butthead, and this is my Beavis. We do a thing. We do these different voices, and whoa, that's cool.
Right.
Hey, Beavis.
What?
I think Mark just did us. he's totally doing us right now. Cardiodio.
That's good. That was good. I think he won that one.
I
think he edged me.
I liked your Butthead.
Oh, that's funny. I liked his Butthead.
I liked
your
Beavis.
He does more of the lift, I guess.
You were talking about how Schwarzenegger has to be ballsy.
Yes.
Even though Butthead's kind of a butthead, he's got a bit of a deeper voice.
There you go.
Beavis is just crazy.
That's good. That's a good one. That's obviously one that you have done a lot.
I used to do...
I only do that one just for the demo.
I used to do car ads for Phil Longkia as Beavis and Butthead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I had told everybody as well. I've begun to realize that I'm the dollar store Beavis and Butthead.
Ninja, I'm the dollar store Snoop Dogg.
There you go.
You know what I mean? I mean, so when they can't get Snoop Dogg, we're going to get that guy that sounds like Snoop Dogg at the dollar store, Ninja.
Yeah, so. Well, let's both do Gilbert Gottfried.
Okay, good. Here we go.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, go.
Okay, so one time I was fired as the voice of a duck, and then they were like, "You shouldn't have joked about that tsunami." And I was like, "That's all I do. I joke about tragic things." Now, when I do Gilbert Gottfried's voice, now let me tell you something, the way I see it, you know, sometimes you gotta just close your eyes and you gotta just pull it from the insides. I don't know how he sounds. I haven't heard him in a while. Maybe he sounds like that.
I'm gonna give that one to Mark.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
And I haven't heard him in a while, so that's a...
We watched an episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that had him with a cameo last night.
Yes. Yeah, he's cameo in the very first episode.
Yeah.
So that was from memory. Like Bobcat's from memory, too, because I don't...
Don Corleone.
Oh, wow. That's, I don't even know if I can. Okay, let me hear yours first because I'm going to ask.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be doing an impression of your impression.
You come to me and you ask me to do a murder. You come to me as a friend. I can help you. Look what they done to my boy. It's my Don Corleone.
That's not bad. You know, I guess I just know that it's within my vocal range.
Yeah.
So that's one of those ones where you know it's in your vocal range. So you just do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, who's the other guy that's from that movie that everybody does?
Opa!
That guy that, Scarface. What's his name?
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, yeah, yeah.
You're out of order. You know what I mean? It's like one of those.
Hoo-ah!
Where everybody does the same.
Yeah, well, they just do the same yelling pattern. Thing. Yeah,
like Don Corleone, I would think would be one of those. How about we can't go backwards. How about any singing ones? You got to do some singing ones.
Well, I do MC Humpty Hump.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to roll the image of the style that you're used to. I look funny, but y'all make a money, see, so y'all want to help me ready for me.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to.
See, I pull it from a different way. You pull it from a nasal, right?
Yeah.
I'm pulling it more from like an Emo Phillips. All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to.
Emo Phillips as Humpty Hump wins the entire episode.
Yes.
FYI.
See, I didn't know that would be impressive.
Yeah. Oh.
You're just hitting some weird, like, Emo Phillips fan button there.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Emo Phillips.
The Humpty
Phillips.
Dance is your chance to do the hump.
You got a room full of people.
The Humpty Hum.
You got people who have seen Emo Phillips live in the room.
Oh, I have never seen him live.
Well, he so opened for Weird Al last year.
He's fun.
That
was
well, that is pretty awesome that I was able to hit that. That tickle button. That's why I said I never know. And then I'm just like, I did it. I did something funny.
Yep. Well, you got George Jones on your list.
Yes.
That's a singing impression that I do.
Okay, let's.
You're going to go first or you want me?
Okay, let's try that.
She was hotter than a $2 pistol. She was the fastest thing around. Long and mean, every young man's dream.
Wait, how does it start off? It starts off with, what's the first lyric from that?
I have no idea.
That wasn't the one you were going to do?
Nope.
Okay, what was the one you were going to do?
He said, I'll love you till I die. They told him you forget in time. Some bullshit and some other thing.
Me too. I can't. As many times I've heard lyrics, I still can't remember them.
Hey, stop loving her today.
Yeah, when I host karaoke at the Elks, it's just a bunch of old country motherfuckers.
I stopped off at the Quicksand for some beer and cigarettes. The old man took my money as he stared at my Corvette.
So that's kind of
it's pretty good. It's pretty goddamn good.
She was hotter than a $2 pistol.
I love that old timey country, right?
That,
well,
kind of twang. Up and down.
Where they do that. They don't do that anymore.
And since we're in the country genre, and since we are broadcasting semi-live in the shadow of the Velvet Elvis, Elvis. Everybody says Elvis? They can do Elvis.
Elvis?
Okay, Elvis.
All right. What is it? Dang it. And you just hit me. These are like old people impressions you're asking.
Well, we're all
me to
old
do.
People.
What's the average age here? I mean,
I'm 45. It is 60.
I'm 51.
Did 51? You just say okay, so he's my age. He did. So this guy's my age. He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
Well, then, now you know why I keep pointing to him, going, right. "Hey, this guy gets my reference."
You found solidarity
this is
age.
This was my target guy back.
And she's
back
pushing 50, but she's the youngest in the room.
Pushing. I'll be 42 next month.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're pulling 50.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's pushing, and she's pulling.
She's seeing it in the distance.
I'm closer to 50 than I am to 30.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's try Elvis. What is the song that I... dang it, I can't even think of... Let me
he's got blue suede shoes.
Well, but that was originally Carl Perkins. Ooh, yeah. That.
Are you lonesome tonight?
I do... whenever I do the Elvis, it's the lemonade, right? Cool, refreshing drink. Hey, Elvis, you're going to win this race?
We're going to win this race.
Remember? Yeah, remember when he got it came out all fat and everything, and he looked like he's about to explode, and he came out and he's like,
I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every byway all the more. What's more now? I did it my way. Excuse me.
That was one of the first from Delirious. I did that when I was 17. I actually performed at a talent show.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that ran through my head when you said Elvis is like old Elvis or young Elvis.
My fallback is always Bright Light City, gonna set my soul, on fire. The reverb Elvis.
Jowly's moving.
Yeah.
that's most of that effect. His auto tune came from the jowl.
Yeah.
Motorboat Elvis is what we should call yours. Let me call yours motorboat.
The sailing Elvis.
I love doing voices. That's fun.
Joe Pesci is on your list.
Hey, you know what? What Billy wants, Billy gets. You know, just gets it. Hey, what am I, funny? What am I funny like?
Yeah, what am I funny? What am I, a clown?
What am I, a clown?
Am I a clown? Am I funny?
Hey, the two youths, you know? Let me just tell you about the two youths.
Two youths?
No, hold on. No, Mark is doing Joe Pesci. You're doing Joe Lowers right now.
Now we both have a Joe Lowers impression. And that was broken out during comedian karaoke at the main event heavily.
Yes.
Heavily.
Now, you don't use impressions in your act, though.
I do, briefly. I do okay. Bill Clinton, okay. And I do Moaning Myrtle. I'm working on more.
Okay. Do you have a list as well?
Yeah, I've got a list.
It's a private list.
It's not. This is the first we've heard of this list.
It's
right?
Not as public
the
as yours.
Secret.
It's kind of a geeky thing to where it's kind of you don't share it with people because it's like I don't know if I show you this if you're gonna be like, man, you have a lot of free time. You sat and wrote 140 people's voices down.
Right. And that's what honestly one of my least favorite. Phrases that people will bust out. You have a lot of free time, but I'm like, I literally do not. I have no free time right. whatsoever. But no, I'll do a Bill Clinton. oh man, I'm so high. Listen, it's Bill Clinton to talk about drive-thru.
Bill
hey,
Clinton.
Y'all got Big Macs in there?
Hey, you guys got Big Macs in there.
So yeah, we're just mimicking each other.
I like it.
It's a mimic circle.
It's a
full circle mimic.
First time I've ever watched people play, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
I like that a lot. No. Do you do comedy, Jess?
She does, actually.
Do you really?
I'm about to get yelled at again.
She was my improv partner for a long, long time.
Okay.
And then I coerced her into doing stand-up, which she was very good at, but she refuses to do it. Because she says it gives her anxiety.
Right. And it gives me anxiety if I don't feel prepared. And I just don't have time to write.
Well, you don't need time to write. You're doing the same 3 minutes over and over until you get it down.
That's what he's telling me too.
That's how comedy is written. People don't understand that comedy is a very slow process. Getting it, okay, I'm starting to tour doing headlining gigs just because I told my wife, I can't write on open mic because it only allows me to work on a 2 minute chunk every other week.
Right.
So I got to go do a show like we did and then try new stuff that night. I was trying a lot of new stuff because I told my wife, if I go get some, maybe I should just book headlining gigs as my open mic because I'll try 10 to 15 minutes of new stuff.
Yeah, sure. Just right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've already got the people sucked in by then.
Yes.
So you can do whatever you want.
And I can bail on it and come back to another 5 minutes of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I can put 5 minute chunks in a 45 minute to an hour set. I can put 15 minutes of 5 minute chunks in there that are brand new, you know, but I can't do that on open mic. It's a laborious process. It's very,
mic is painful.
They have like seven open mics here and five of them are run badly.
I agree.
Okay.
Speaking of, I'm going to be one of their showcases next week.
Okay.
Opening for Johnny Bradspeed.
Okay.
An open mic. It's the showcase, but
it's the you look like?
No. It's I don't do roasts yet. But no, it's the one at Gold Camp Brewing Company.
Okay.
Yeah. Caesar and Alyssa. They do three open mics and then a showcase at the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to be on that showcase.
Well, I'd like to go see it. Let me know.
I would love for you to come.
Let me know when that is, because I'm a Bratzvine fan, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's great. Yeah. It is this Wednesday. Hmm? Yep, this Wednesday.
10:30.
10:30.
Wednesday, 10:30. At what time?
Shit, I don't know.
at what time?
At what time? We don't know. We'll
Mine says 10 p.m., but it was probably 9 p.m. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think it's 9 p.m. They always do it at 9 p.m.
Yeah, but I'm a Bratzvine fan, so
oh yeah, he's great.
I'll go watch him. Cool. Yeah, and that's one of the guys that after you see him over and over, you do realize that you do have to do the same stuff over and over.
Oh yeah,
because I can kind of repeat some of his jokes, but his timing on it's really good.
Yeah,
and that's what you're working on is your timing. You know, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Peek behind the curtain of comedy, you guys.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah,
but that was actually one of the first pieces of advice that Joe Lowers gave me. He's all, listen, don't try to do new stuff. Just do the same stuff over and over, because all the comedy bookers and the club owners want to see consistency.
That's
so
fine. Yeah.
Just do the same stuff every time, and don't suck.
Yes, because I tell everybody, hey, the way that the guy, the owner of the club, watches is he'll come through and go, hey, Mark, how's Derek doing? Oh, he's doing really good. And then he'll come back in, and if he hears laughter again, hey, it seems like he's getting a lot of laughter, man. Yeah, he's doing really good. And he'll come back in. Wow, every time I come in, people
There's
are laughing.
Laughter.
That's how he listens. He don't even listen to your joke.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So it's all about consistency. So when people go, did he not hear that I wrote 5 new minutes of material?
Who gives a shit?
He don't care.
One of the best
until you're headlining.
One of the best pieces of advice that Jason from the World Series gave me to this point And he told a story to soften the whole thing after. But the phrase is, nobody gives a shit about your jokes.
Mm-mm.
Not right now. Not, they give a shit about what kind of a comic you are on stage. Mm-hmm. Can you be on stage and not fucking blow it? Nobody yeah. gives a shit about your jokes.
Yes.
And that's very freeing if you think about it. Because, you know, as yeah. as you always say, writing jokes gives you the anxiety.
Yeah.
And I write new stuff all the time. I throw old stuff away all the time. Sometimes I write mm-hmm. new stuff and I'm like, this still sucks. I'll throw it away. But it's not for a long time. Like you said, until you're headlining, nobody really cares. It's just like, can you not blow it?
Yeah.
Please? Can you yeah. show up on time and stick to your time? Not be an asshole?
Yeah, and make good announcements.
Yes, yeah. I'm really that's good. I'm really good at making announcements.
That's it. I mean, that's what they really look for in the opening spot.
Yeah.
I mean, so for the first 3 years of your career, you're going to have to be that guy that just tells them when the next acts are coming up and all of that.
I am.
See, really, I look at
Dan
forever.
Rainey. Dan Rainey does very well.
I would do that forever. Yeah.
Well, Dan Rainey gets a lot of gigs just from that. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's quite there oh, quite
yeah.
a bit.
Yeah.
It's like your next act coming up, high five, tip your waitstaff, out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Maybe mm-hmm. maybe do like three to open.
Okay, and all you have to do is be pleasant. A lot of people try to run a home run, right. hit a home run.
Oh, God.
And you can't. In the opening slot, you're not going to hit a home run.
Yeah, we were
not to talk
about
so much shit, but every time I go up to Denver to do the Comedy Works thing, the guys that get picked to host, they go over their time, they're trying to impress Wendy, they're like he's there trying mm-hmm. to crush a home run in the host spot, and they don't understand what it means to host. And it's a pain in the ass to watch. But they're the ones in the Almost Famous program up there. They're the pros. And it's just like, if you're a pro, you should know how to host.
Well, next time you go, I'll go with you. Let's do all right. that.
Cool. It's going to probably be a while. Yeah. It takes me like 18 weeks between slots. But yeah, it'll be after the first of the year, probably.
I went and looked at the club up there. They have a club called Voodoo.
Voodoo Comedy Playhouse.
We used to do
improv there.
We actually, that is technically our home improv club.
Okay.
On the improvnetwork.com, we are listed as players at the Voodoo, but we haven't been there in a while.
Improv for like 2 years, so. I loved doing improv.
Well, I mean, did they upgrade? Because they have plastic chairs now.
Oh, then they downgraded.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
No, actually, the
they
owner
have plastic lawn chairs now.
The
that
owner
make fart noises when you move them.
Nice. It's a cool little space, cool. And we
okay. That's what was weirded me out. I was looking to film my next DVD there.
Yeah,
and I went, and they didn't have tables.
Yeah, they didn't,
yeah.
It's they didn't strange
have
because
waitresses.
Yeah, they used to have tables. Well, and it used to be so more of like a teaching theater,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
So like when we were hanging out there, it was literally like they'd do classes during the day. Pretty much all the students would put on a show for their 15 friends, and then they'd do karaoke until like
well,
1 in the morning.
Plus, that was also the Dinner Detective venue in Denver for a long time, so they had to have
and they
tables.
Had tables and chairs and things. And then over the years, they've changed their lineup and some different
well, and the
are
owner sold controlling interest to Nick Armstrong and some other guy.
Yeah, so they're running it differently than they used
Nick
to.
Nick is the guy from L.A. that comes
yes.
in. I talked to him.
Yeah. And he's big time in the improv community, so a lot of improvisers are just gaga over Nick Armstrong.
Well,
as a stand-up, you'd be like, who? But
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I like the Voodoo. I still like the Voodoo.
I don't know if it's
there,
proper venue for to film a stand-up.
No,
I would say no.
It's
I would say absolutely
decrepit.
Not.
It's a little ramshackle around. It's a little around the edges.
Okay.
It's a little rough around the edges.
Thanks, because I felt like I was kind of being like a snob.
No. I'm coming at it from you saying that this is somewhere I'm looking to film something. That's definitely not a place. It's a great performance house. It's a fun place to go, but it's not a place I would think of to film a professional demo.
Oh, no. There's not enough butts in the seats to make the cacophonous laughter. Well,
they were full when I went, and it was $15 a person. And I'm like, how did you guys pack this place? Have you guys ever been?
Okay. We haven't.
Yeah, you've come and seen.
Did we?
Did we go?
I know you've come at least once to see improv there.
No, not at Voodoo.
So. We went to the place here in town to see you guys do improv. Yeah. Oh.
Did you guys perform here at Looney's?
No, it wasn't Looney's. It was
when we were at the Mat, when we opened for the Rip.
Yeah. Millibo.
Well, he allows Thursday night shows. So
I've seen that, yeah.
Okay, so if you can gather enough people, you know, to he'll give you guys a Thursday if you have an improv group.
That is my biggest problem is I hate people.
All right.
We have been going for an hour and 5 minutes. You know why? Because we had a damn good guest. His name is Mark Britton. 7 voices on Dragon Ball Z. Professional comedian for
102 years. Super cool. My name is Derek Knight. You've been listening to The Big Program. Colin Burton said a few things.
Yeah, I said things.
Yeah, my sister Heather.
I know. I talked the whole time.
No, that was why you were here. Yeah. This was great. Jess, Heather, listener, thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
We love you all. All 67 of you.
Fuck Montrose.
Fuck Montrose.
Fuck Montrose.
We will see you back again some other time. What does that mean? We'll tell you later.